today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a new bill in Congress is aimed at getting us closer to a world without resort fees, and Chinese travelers have stopped coming to the U.S. We tell you the impact on travel companies and update concerns about the new virus that's worrying travelers.
Today's show is featuring our annual tour of the New York Times Travel Show.
Beginning at 3:20, we take you on a variety of adventures starting right here in the USA. 2020 marks the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the Pilgrims, so it seems natural our first stop would be in Plymouth. And then we head off from Plymouth to Gander, the city that was made famous by the musical Come From Away.
At 3:35, our journey continues with a stop in Poland to learn about culinary vacations, and then off to Africa to learn how you can take a real safari.
Tom, you know how much I love travel gadgets. So at 3:50, let's learn about luggage you can personally design and a travel mat, which might make flying a bit more comfortable.
Featuring our visit to the largest travel show in the country, sponsored by the New York Times, it's especially for you today here on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here on a beautiful Sunday. A lot of clouds in the sky, and we are here with a lot of fun information and some great interviews as we do the New York Times Travel Show, if you will. I'm here in studio. Mark is all the way not in New York any longer. What? Key Largo, if I'm not mistaken.
Key Largo.
Mark? Yeah, welcome.
Yeah. Remember the old song, Sailing Away in Key Largo? Was that Rupert Holmes or somebody like that? I don't remember who did that. But anyways, we have just watched a spectacular sunset on the back of the... there's a really nice Hilton Garden Inn right here and a Hampton Inn in Key Largo. And so this is where we stay. And our troops are headed over to a place called the Fish House, which is absolutely one of... If you ever come to the Florida Keys and you're anywhere here near Key Largo, you want to go to the Fish House for dinner because they have... some of the best fish that you will ever eat. Yum, yum. That's where I'm headed when we are done with this, sir.
All right. What's your favorite fish of choice?
Well, it's variety every day. But the great thing about this restaurant is there's like 8 or 9 different ways that you can have it prepared. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you like broiled or baked or slaughtered with whatever, you know, slathered in something, why then they'll do it just about any way that you want it. So it's of course, fish has gotten a little more expensive as time has gone on, but it's really a great spot here in the Keys. Tomorrow we will head down to the Turtle Hospital and Dolphin Research Center and end our day in Key West.
Outstanding. Well, we've got lots to cover, Mark, so let's not take too much time here at the top. Let's get to the very important travel news. And with that, once again, Mark Hoffman from Key Largo, right there with Humphrey Bogart, 1947, I think was the movie.
Here comes some news from overseas. China has ordered travel agencies in their country to suspend tours to help contain the virus outbreak. The move comes, of course, as many were getting ready for the Lunar New Year. But more importantly, Chinese travelers represent a huge amount of inbound travel to the United States. There are not quite as many of them coming as there were a couple of years ago, but still a lot of them coming. Many come on organized package tours. So in order to cut down on the possibility of the virus that has broken out in China from spreading around the planet any quicker than it already has, Chinese officials have told their travel people that nobody's going out, and they're recommending, at least for right now, that folks consider whether or not they're coming in, and airlines are helping you with that because airlines have issued travel orders. All the main U.S. carriers that serve China, Delta, American, and United, have issued travel waivers that are that waive change fees. You can change the fees are waived through March. To be eligible, you have to cancel your trip before the outbound departs, in other words, before it starts, and you have to have purchased the tickets before January 21st. So if you have a trip upcoming to China and you're looking to postpone it, you can refer to your airline. They can probably give you some assistance. Some foreign airlines are also, and Chinese airlines are also issuing waivers. So that may give you the opportunity to be able to postpone your trip, whether you were going to China for business or for pleasure. Let's see here. Mandatory resort fees. Congress has introduced a bill in hopes of following up on the two lawsuits that have been filed in Kansas and the District of Columbia against hotels for charging those lovely resort amenity or destination fees. Good luck. We will keep you posted. No action on it so far. Why would that surprise me? I guess something in Congress, no action so far. so check back with us in 2038, and we should probably have...
Be kind. Come on now.
An update on that.
You're not very optimistic about this, are you?
I'm not, Tom, but and here's what's going to happen. The hotels are going to come out and say, oh, my God, were we doing something wrong? Oh, my goodness. We'll stop doing that right away. If we'd only known that this was a terrible thing for people, we would never have done this. We'll stop doing it right away as long as you tell us we don't have to give back any of the money that we already took from people. Mm-hmm. In other words, I look for the agreement to be stop charging the damn fees. And the people who have, if it gets to court, you see, and they lose, there's a real chance that people will be able to get some of those fees that they paid over the years back. So I think the hotels, if there gets to be enough pressure and they see the writing on the wall, they're going to cave in and settle this, which will mean the end of the resort fees. Because as we've talked about before many times on this program, resort fees, that income is tabulated differently by the hotels. In many cases, they don't pay commissions to third-party travel agencies on it. And there are a lot of different ways that it's tabulated in their accounting system, which gives them some advantages. Also, imagine thinking you were buying $175 hotel room, only to find out just as you went, click, yes, I'll have the reservation, that you were really buying a $205 hotel room because there's a $30 a night charge.
Yeah, but, you know, I see it coming. They will either just simply increase the price by $35, or better yet, they will extract all of those things that used to come for free and then a la carte you to death all the way back up to that whatever $25 to $45 depending on where you're staying. It won't be called a resort fee anymore. It'll just be all the a la cartes, but at least we'll get a choice to pass on things we don't use.
And in some cases, I think that you probably are right, but in some cases, these resort fees are $20, $30, $40, and really all you're getting out of it is a couple bottles of water that you could have bought downstairs on the street for no more than $2 a piece. So
right.
I think you're right, Tom, that it won't go back to the way it exactly was before because the hotels will try to keep some of this revenue, but at least maybe people will have an option and you won't have to pay $30 a day. And for them telling you that this is for the exercise facilities, which and the bicycle path, which you are never going to use anyway. The president is about to add a number of countries to the do not travel to the United States list. We mentioned this last week. We still don't have a complete list, but it looks like Belarus, Myanmar, Nigeria, Sudan, and Tanzania are at least going to be on that list. So not any countries that bring a tremendous number of people to the United States, but all of us in travel worry about the fact that we're sending a message to people that the United States are not safe and a place that we don't want everybody to come here. And tourism is really a big plus for the economy. It used to be about $60 billion a year plus, Tom, and I confess it's been a couple of years since I've seen that number, but it is one of our positive balances of trade. Okay, quickly here. The Carnival Cruises has not stopped ocean dumping despite heavy fines. They've been fined over $600 million for dumping garbage in the ocean, and they still have not stopped. In fact, since that report was issued in 2016, there have been 274 more violations. Shame on you, Carnival Cruise Lines. All kinds of different varieties. You can read about it online, but Carnival Cruise Lines is not being a good corporate citizen, I don't think. But let's get the yin and the yang for cruise lines. Princess Cruises has saved some stranded teens in Australia. They stopped and picked up two teenagers after their kayak went adrift. The Sun Princess was docked at Kangaroo Island when a nearby ferry reported two people floating in the water. Princess officials immediately dispatched a tender. Those of you who cruise know that a tender is that little boat that takes you to shore when you can't dock right at the dock and walk off the ship. And picked up the two teenage girls from the water. They were visiting the island with family, had gone kayaking and snorkeling, and a change in the weather resulted in the teens being sucked away from shore in their kayak, leaving them exhausted as they tried to get back. So Princess Cruise Lines sent a rescue boat. So thanks to Princess Cruise Lines. And finally, one last item here. Hertz is going to debut a new ad campaign around the Super Bowl featuring NFL Hall of Fame running back Jerome Bettis. It will debut February the 2nd and continue after that. Hertz is offering its customers some very special experiences at the Super Bowl. If you are a Hertz Gold Plus Rewards member, you might want to go to Hertz.com and check out what some of the prizes are. Make sure that you are registered. The grand prize is a helicopter tour of the host city of Miami and chauffeured car service to the stadium. Tom, I should mention that we spent most of the day in Miami today. Not a whole lot of signs of Super Bowl fans yet. They've opened some of the attractions so that local people can see them at reduced prices for a day or two. So literally today down in the Bayfront in Miami, Super Bowl activities just getting underway. But you can see that the city is about to gear up for one really big event.
I would imagine, yes. This will be the day, probably today, and that all the players will start arriving and then have all of the interviews and, you know, the media week and so forth leading up to it. It's going to change a lot. You timed it right.
Well, yeah, if you're gonna come to the Super Bowl city, especially since I ran into a guy at the Bayfront, which is a kind of a shops and touristy area, restaurants and things like that down on the water, where some very expensive boats are parked. And I assume that there'll be probably some more expensive boats there before in a couple of days. But just to give you an idea, gentleman who's staying on Miami Beach says his hotel room is $279 a night last night, tonight, and tomorrow night. And then it goes to $449 in the middle of the week, mm-hmm. and goes to $1,099 Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. By the way, that's per night, not for the three nights combined.
Well, all right. You know, I'll be happy just to sit and watch it at home in front of the big screen.
There you go. And by the way, that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Visit us at travelguysradio.com. And this is our special New York Times travel show. And we're going to get things started right after this break. So stick around. Got some good stuff coming up here on the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Again, travelguysradio.com is our website, and there you'll have links to our special guests on the show today. So, Mark, let's get started. You were at the New York Times Travel Show starting, what, on Friday, Saturday, and you hit the floor, and what did you find?
Well, Friday, the New York Times Travel Show, Tom, is the biggest travel show in the country in terms of the number of people who attend. On Friday, they have a media and industry day so that everybody who works, who sells travel products, can go on the floor and meet with folks and those of us who promote them. And then on Saturday and Sunday, it's open to the public. Almost 35,000 people will attend the show. And it's pretty significant to know that the public, it's $20 to get in. So it's not free. And it's a very well-attended show. Folks from all over the planet. You have people with startup travel products trying to get some feedback from the general public. And places that have had natural disasters are trying to make a comeback. People that are trying to build a name for themselves in tourism and stuff like that. So it's really a very wide variety. These first two people that I spoke to, we are the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims arriving in Plymouth, which of course was their second stop in the United States. First was Provincetown. They stopped in Plymouth. Landed at a big rock there that's become kind of famous, and that 400th anniversary is this year. And so we went to Plymouth to talk a little bit about that. And then we went up to Gander, Newfoundland. Of course, that's the little airport city that became famous in the play, the musical Come From Away, and talked to those folks up there. We have at Sports Leisure Vacations a trip going to Cape Cod that will celebrate the 400th anniversary of the Pilgrims. So you can go to sportsleisure.com and see some information on that trip if you want. So, Tom, why don't we get started here with stops in Massachusetts and Canada here to kick off the New York Times Travel Show. Tom, I'm here with Kate Sheehan. She is the Associate Director of Media Relations and Marketing for Plymouth Plantation. And this year at Plymouth Plantation, which happens to be in a town by the same name in Massachusetts, you're celebrating a pretty big deal in Plymouth this year. It is the 400th anniversary of something. I can't remember exactly what, but maybe you can help us.
It's kind of a big deal, Mark. We're celebrating we're actually commemorating the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the Mayflower, which is the ship that brought the Pilgrims to the shores of what is now Massachusetts in 1620. And that's a really exciting year because it's nationally significant. It kicks off a series of anniversaries that lead us to Boston. And then, of course, that unfolds across our nation into really who we are today, starting with the signing of the Mayflower Compact.
The first year of an American history lesson, it sounds like.
That is exactly what it is.
Plymouth Plantation is something that's there. It's an attraction that's there all the time, kind of recreating life in Plymouth in the early days of the Pilgrims. Tell me what you will be doing this year to enhance this very special event.
We are very excited at Plymouth Plantation, which is a museum, a nearly 75-year-old living history museum and a cultural attraction in Plymouth. And we're working really closely with the Plymouth 400 commemoration team, who is kicking off a whole year of events in April of 2020. And what we at Plymouth Plantation are really excited to do is amplify what we always do at our museum every day, which is to tell the really powerful stories of both the persistent Pilgrims who arrived here in 1620, and also importantly, the very complex relationships that they had with the native people, working both in collaboration and in conflict to really form a whole new society. It was really the beginning of the American experiment.
And I've been to the plantation before, and really it's one of the best living history presentations that's made anywhere in the country. So I can't imagine that this year, with this extra emphasis, I mean, year 399 I'm sure was significant, but the 400th is going to bring some people out of the woodwork. Will the town be doing a lot of celebrations? Of course, Plymouth Rock, which might be a little bit of a disappointment to some people.
Plymouth Rock is a very special part of your Plymouth experience, but it's certainly not the only part of your Plymouth experience. We'll put it that way. What visitors can really look forward to in this 400th commemoration year is the return of Mayflower 2, which is Plymouth Plantation's full-size reproduction of the original Mayflower.
Cool.
It has been fully restored over the last 3 years, a massive multi-million-dollar project, so that she's seaworthy for another 60 years. And the ship will be coming home to Plymouth Memorial Day weekend 2020. And we'll just be right in the center of some incredible events that are happening throughout Plymouth all year. Literally, you can come to Plymouth, Massachusetts any day in 2020 and something incredible is going to be happening.
I'm really happy to hear that it's returning, that the Mayflower 2 is returning over Memorial Day weekend, because it just so happens that I will be there with a group of travelers from Sacramento about 3 weeks after that.
You're kidding. You're going to have a really great chance to see the ship, and she looks absolutely beautiful. She's really the star of Plymouth Harbor, and we can't wait to have her back. But there are so many wonderful cultural organizations, not just Plymouth Plantation, in Plymouth that your listeners are really going to love visiting, from history museums to arts organizations. We have an incredible restaurant scene, especially during the summer when you can enjoy
seafood. And we should tell people who might not be totally up on their geography that Plymouth is an hour from Logan Airport.
An hour from Logan. It's just north of Cape Cod. I live on Cape Cod. It takes me 30 minutes every day to get to work.
So if you're going anywhere near Boston over the next year, it would be really a tragedy to miss this opportunity to just add one more day into your schedule. Or maybe you have a longer layover in Boston than you'd like. You know, you get that little rental car, you just head on down
there. Get that rental car. Hop on down. It's absolutely worth it. You'll have a great time in Plymouth. There's so much to see and do. And we can't wait to have so many of our West Coast friends visiting us at Plymouth Plantation.
Kate from Plymouth Plantation, it's absolutely part of your destination if you're going back to commemorate the 400th anniversary of the arrival of the Pilgrims. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Tom, let's skip over to Canada for just a moment. I'm with Tara Paulett. She is the deputy mayor, goodness, of Gander, which has become a slightly more famous place in the last few years, as many of us come from a ways have come from away to Gander. Some folks from Sacramento will be making a visit there this summer. Tell us a little bit about your town, which a lot more people know about than they used to.
Thank you. Our town was incorporated in the 60s, and actually 60 years ago, and we it's an airport town, originally born out of the Second World War. So we're
a big refueling stop.
A big refueling stop on the way to Europe or on the way back from Europe. So,
and then one day airplanes flew into buildings and suddenly Gander took on a great importance.
We did. And with a heart and a half, as we call it.
So how big is Gander?
Gander right now is 13,000, but back then it was about 9,600. So we essentially almost doubled our population for 5 days. Welcomed a lot of visitors.
Yeah. Were you part of all of that when the...
Well, I was actually, I just lived right behind one of the schools, which housed a lot of the plain people, as we call it.
The plain people.
Yeah, we call them the plain people. And
I heard the plain people have had at least one reunion. Is that true?
Yeah, in 2011, there was...
So there might be another one coming up.
There's one in 2021. We're planning a huge reunion with hopefully a lot of visitors once again.
So Gander is a rural area.
Yes.
So give me an idea, give me one or two things that maybe folks from Sacramento, California can expect when they get to Gander.
Well, they can expect a smile as one thing, dress for any type of weather, because at any time the weather can change.
Okay.
That's the one of the caveats of living in the middle of the Atlantic.
If you don't like the weather, wait 15 minutes and it'll be different.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And if you like the weather, wait 15 minutes.
Exactly. But yeah, so we're about 45 minutes from the Atlantic Ocean. Lots to see around central Newfoundland, which is the province which Gander is. And a friendly face.
As the deputy mayor, folks are coming to visit you now who would not have come before. How is that working for the people in the town? And I mean, obviously it creates tourism is generally good for everybody.
Tourism for central Newfoundland as a whole, not only Gander, is up probably about 25% each year. It goes up and up.
And some of that obviously is attributed to the show.
Oh, absolutely. We have an initiative now where all the sites that are identified in the show, we have signage up, tells you what happened, who stayed there, how many people, all of that.
Awesome.
So yeah, it's really taken off. We're very, very proud. You know, it's funny that we can take something positive from such a tragedy, but that's what we do. That's Newfoundlanders.
Well, Gander stepped up, and not only that, on that day and that week, I was in, I arrived in Vancouver that afternoon.
Oh, okay.
With a tour group, and Canadians were beyond hospitable for the period of time that we all were. Nobody really knew what was going on or what was going to happen next. So anyway, it's nice that something wonderful has come out of this, and I look forward to having some folks from Sacramento and Gander next summer.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks.
More on the New York Times Travel Show here with the Travel Guys coming up after we take a short break. Let's see, what do we have next? We're going to talk about customized luggage later on, something called a travel mat, off to Poland, off to Africa, all of that coming up next here on the Travel Guys. All the leaves are We're back. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Again, visit us at TravelGuysRadio.com anytime. Let's see. I'm here in studio. Mark is in Key Largo, and it's back to all of the great interviews that you collected at the New York Times Travel Show. Mark, tell us what we got coming up next.
Well, next year, Tom, we're going to go overseas and visit a couple places. Poland is our first stop. And then down to Africa to talk to a company that does safaris down there. One thing about Poland before we start the interview, we talked to a lady who has a company that puts together, let's call them foodie tours. Poland is a place, having been there a couple of times myself, that has just spectacular food. And that's maybe something that doesn't get a whole lot of exposure. But if you find yourself headed to Poland, and especially Krakow, the amazing UNESCO city, which has so much to offer and is such a great place to visit there. But if you find yourself going to Poland, make sure that you leave yourself plenty of time to sample the food, particularly if you're a culinary person when you travel, because you're going to find some real treats there. So I think we're ready to go, Tom, on with our journey across the oceans.
All righty then, let's head over to the floor of the New York Times Travel Show.
So, Tom, our next stop is in Europe, and we are going to Poland with Sarna Rose, and she is here at the Poland. You've got quite a layout here. You've got a whole lot of stuff.
We're here with Poland's Polish National Tourism Office.
So tell us, to start with, folks from California, why should Poland be high on their to-go list?
Well, why Poland? Because it's beautiful. It's got lots of history, lots of beautiful nature. And first of all, what we specialize in, wonderful food and wine. And I know that Californians love good wine, good food and wine.
They do. They know their wine. Poland is such a fascinating country. I've had a chance to visit a couple of times. And it's not whatever your mental picture of Poland is, if you've never been there, forget all that stuff. You mentioned the food. The food in Poland is unbelievable.
Yes, we have very talented young chefs. We have a Michelin star restaurant now in Warsaw. And really, every year we compete at international culinary events and our chefs win awards. But on our tours, we also expose you to home cooking, cooking with housewives in the villages and towns, which really usually are the best hit on our tours.
And your company is Poland Culinary Vacation, so you take advantage of this. So tell me a little bit more about what you do.
Okay, we organize small group culinary, cultural, spa and wine vacations. And basically, our tours are about week long, and we go off the beaten path. We take you into villages and towns. You cook with local village women, their family and traditional recipes.
So it's really a meet the locals type thing.
Definitely. It's very experiential. You meet the locals. We do crafts. You may be sewing. You may be painting on glass. You may be painting Christmas ornaments on the Magic of Christmas Markets in Poland tour, which we also organize in December. So really, there's so much to do in Poland, and with our hospitality, amazing cuisine, the cooking classes, we expose you to traditional cooking and modern cooking with young Polish talented chefs in culinary studios in various capital cities.
Lovely, lovely. And of course, Krakow is, in my opinion, one of the great places to visit in Europe. It's a spectacular city. Poland is really a great destination. If it's someplace that's on your bucket list, then you need to move it to the top. Another thing you're going to find about traveling in Poland is that the pricing in Poland is much more reasonable than some parts of Europe.
Yes, Poland is a great value. We are part of the European Union, but we don't have the euro yet, and the dollar has been really high lately. So if you haven't been to Poland, definitely now is the time to come. Because the dollar goes a long way.
Tell me your favorite place to take visitors to Poland.
My favorite is Krakow because it's just the market square. You know, it's a UNESCO market square. It's the largest medieval market square in all of Europe. So it's really amazing place. It's romantic. And you could spend 2 weeks just in Krakow and still not get enough of it. People come back to Poland just so they can, you know, come and stay there and visit. But of course, there are other regions that are, you know, beautiful too.
Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time.
Thank you.
We're going to put a link to your website, to the Poland's Culinary Vacations at travelguysradio.com.
Okay.
And thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.
All right, Tom, moving over to the Africa aisle now. I am here with Claire Whip. Claire is the director of Whip's Wilderness Safaris. And before we started the interview, I told her I didn't think that the name on the card and the name on the company was kind of a coincidence. It might be the same Whip's, huh?
It is.
It is. So tell us a little bit about your safaris in Africa.
Okay, so we're based in Namibia. We've got four camps in Namibia. Two of them are based in Damaraland, Madisa Camp and Buruka Camp. Then we've got...
So for folks who are really rookies when it comes to Africa, tell us what a camp is.
Okay, so basically we have got tented luxury camps and campsites. So the campsites is where you bring your own tent and you set it up and you've got your own ablutions. Then the luxury safari tent has got all the linen and the whites and everything in it with ensuite bathrooms.
I think that's what we call glamping here in the United States.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so then we've got our camp up north in Livingston's, which is in Kasaruapala National Park.
Ooh, beautiful brochure, nice pictures.
Absolutely stunning. And then we do our own safaris within South Africa, Namibia, and Botswana. And that can be whether it's a camping safari or accommodated safari. It all depends on what the client would like.
And give me some idea of the length of the safaris. Do you go out a day at a time or several days? Do you come back to your home camp every night? Or?
So we do personalized safaris, and we've got a few set itineraries, and that can go from anywhere from 6 days up until 2 weeks to 30 days. It depends on what the client would like. And then you would basically take Namibia, for example. You'd start in our main city, Windhoek. And you would then travel around Namibia seeing the sites that you would like to see and end back at the international airport and then fly out.
So someone who has never been to Africa before and is looking, it's on their bucket list to go to Africa and do a safari. And maybe I'm a lady and I'm in my 70s and I'm thinking, gee, is this really something, has my window closed, or is this something I could still do?
Absolutely. I mean, we will cater for your every need.
A couple of examples maybe of the demographics that you're strongest in.
It ranges from young to old. It's quite a big, it's very diverse actually. So, but I mean, like you say, if you were a 70-year-old lady, then we know, okay, we need to make sure that the safari, you're well taken care of, you're comfortable at all times, you are in a vehicle with aircon all the time. These are obviously certain criteria that has to be met. So we make sure that it's planned exactly how you need it, and yeah.
How many people in the safari groups that you do?
We try to keep it small, so six and under. Just because, especially with the photographic safaris, it gets a bit difficult when there's big groups. So we like to keep it small, personal, so that you have a one-on-one with your guide and you enjoy your trip.
And I know safaris are not inexpensive, so give me some idea of what a safari might cost.
Okay, so we start at about $250 a day for our camping safaris. But that includes everything. And then from accommodated up is $350 per day.
Well, that's not that expensive. I mean,
it's
I can't bring people
expensive.
To New York City for $350 a day.
It's not that expensive at all. But obviously, like I say, that's your sort of entry-level accommodation. If you want five-star accommodation, then obviously the price goes up.
For someone who, because there's an enormous number of folks on the west coast of the United States who someday want to go to Africa. Not all of them are going to get there. What would you say to somebody who they've watched the documentaries, they've always wanted to do this, they just have never pulled the trigger? What would you say to them to get them to pull the trigger now?
Africa is the most amazing, amazing, amazing place. I mean, you are never going to see landscapes and wildlife like you're going to see in Namibia, Botswana, South Africa, Zambia, Zimbabwe. I mean, it's mind-blowing, mind-blowing. And I mean, the documentaries and stuff, yes, it's gorgeous to watch on TV, but for you to see it in real life is just, and then to obviously get your own pictures and memories, and that's what it's all about. It's about making memories, and Africa has this way of digging very deep into your heart, and
in New York they say, you can watch a movie on television, but live theater on the stage is really something.
Yeah.
And so I think you're making the same comparison here, is that to go and really see it in person is something that you must do. Thank you
Absolutely.
So much for your time today. I really appreciate it. We will post your website at travelguysradio.com. So folks who haven't taken that African safari yet and are thinking that maybe it's about time, maybe this is the time, go to travelguysradio.com and you can see a link to Whip's Wilderness Safaris. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Awesome. You know, I'm surprised at how reasonably priced a safari in Africa has gotten. I mean, you got different levels.
Well,
you can spend more if you want.
Did you catch, though? Yeah, well, and I was, you could tell I was kind of surprised, too, there in the interview, but she kind of had a qualifier there at the end that I thought was kind of interesting, because she said, you know, well, those are, that's kind of the starting price.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's, if you go on to, if you're buying an airline ticket to New York City and you go on United Airlines website,
yeah,
they have this thing called basic economy that they will sell you for the cheapest price. So, what she's talking about, I'm sure, is their most modest accommodations, and that if you want to something nicer that you can pay up. But yeah, it seems as though it might be affordable. Heck, of course, it's a better part of a couple grand to get to Africa and back. But sounded like fun. And my Poland friend, she's a blast. I really want to. I would love to go to Poland and take one of her tours, because when she talks about all the things that you're going to do and how you're going to do them, and going around and meeting all these ladies with their little family recipes and stuff like that, having been to Poland a couple times, I can picture that. So that sounds like it would be a lot of fun. And just to remind folks, once again, all the links to all the people that we're talking to can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com.
All right. We're going to take a couple of minutes out, and then when we return, we're going to poke around at the New York Times travel show for one of the things that Mark enjoys the most, and that's looking for new kinds of travel gadgets. That's next here on The Travel Guys.
Come away with me.
Please do. Come away with us to the New York Times travel show. We do this every year. About this time, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel Guys. Let's see. I'm in studio, and Mark is in Key Largo. And just a couple of days ago, he was on the floor of the New York Times travel show. And Mark, I know you're always looking for that ultimate gadget, especially if it has something to do with being able to sleep on a plane. How'd you do this time around? What'd you find anyway?
Well, you know, I'm in search of the ultimate travel pillow, and I'm 40 years into this travel stuff and haven't found it yet, but maybe someday. But I did, and I didn't find that, but I did find a couple of, I think, kind of neat things. Let me set up the interviews here just a little bit. The first interview is with a really young man. I think 10 or 11 years old. He told us his age, and I forgot. You'll hear it in the interview. His father was busy talking to someone, and he came up to me and started giving me the sales pitch for his product. And he was so good that I asked his dad if it was okay if we just did the interview with him. So that's kind of fun. And then we have and that's the travel mat. And then we have some luggage, which is kind of unique, because you can design the luggage. You can go online and you can make each side of the luggage the color that you want. You can have whatever kinds of zippers and wheels and any kind of different. It's truly customizable luggage. So I thought those were the two most interesting things at the New York Times travel show when it came to travel gadgets or accessories.
Tom, I'm here with Hemi Bouncil, right, Hemi? Did I get that right?
Yeah, Hemi Bouncil.
Okay. Hemi Bouncil. And we're looking at a thing called the travel mat.
Yes.
Okay. So, and Hemi, tell our listeners, talk up loud, okay, so that they can hear us. Tell me what you were telling me about the mat.
So the travel mat is a thing that can roll out on your seat, and then it has a neck pillow attached, and that neck pillow can go behind your back or on your neck. And then to get to sleep on your neck, or you can put it behind your back if you're watching a movie or something.
Now we've got this thing here. You were showing me how it works, and it's really light too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's only about 900 grams.
Okay, so we're going to take a picture of this, and we're going to put it on our website so that the people who are listening to this interview can go to TravelGuysRadio.com, yeah, and they'll be able to see. 900 grams? Do we know how many pounds 900 grams is?
No, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's not very many, though. It's pretty light.
Yeah.
It's pretty light. So this is almost kind of looks like a little bit of a blanket, but it folds up. And you're explaining to me, Hemi, about tell me again how this works now.
So it's attached to your butt, back, and it has a neck pillow, so it can go around your neck. So
and
you
wouldn't know this, but I've been looking for like 20 years for the perfect airplane neck pillow. So if I sit down here, and
you can put it around your neck,
okay,
so you can sleep, and then it's got like little toggles. You plug them in, then you tighten them up so you can, like, it stays tight, so just like this. So you push this little thing in here, grab these little things, and tighten it up. then you can.
This is pretty comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard for me to get to sleep even with this, but I'm like, it makes it so much easier.
Where are you from?
We live in Thailand.
In Thailand?
Yes.
Okay, and how old are you?
10.
Is this your first time to the States?
No, I was born here.
You were born here? Okay, yeah, your English is pretty good. Where are you from?
I live in Australia. Well, I'm from Australia. So.
Right, but when the United States, where were you born? When?
I was born in America and I was raised in Australia.
Okay, what part of America?
Marquette.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time today and your interview. We're going to take some pictures and put this up on our website, okay? How much does it cost?
It's $60 at the trade show and $100 for two at the trade show, but it is $89 for, like, not at the trade show.
When you buy it online?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Hemi.
Thanks.
Tom, I'm here with Larry Lean. Larry is with Roam Luggage, R-O-A-M. Larry, tell me what makes your product, and I confess to you before we started that I didn't hear what your folks were talking about the luggage here. What makes Roam Luggage different here? What brought you to the New York Times Travel Show?
Well, we're a startup. We're a year old, and there are many things that make us different from all other luggage companies and some of the luggage startups that have gotten some attention. First of all, we're making super high quality luggage. We make the best luggage in the world, and we know where we come from. My partner, Charlie Clifford, was the founder of Tumi, and I spent 20 years as executive VP of Tumi, so we know what it means to make
the best. You guys know your luggage.
Yes, and you know, most of the other people founding luggage companies are founding luggage companies because, you know, they think it's a good idea to found
right,
a luggage company.
Right, they think they found a good idea.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
So what makes this luggage different?
Okay, so.
Because I always tell folks that when it comes to luggage, you get what you pay for.
Yes, so that's right. So we're making luggage that's basically at the top of the market, but because we're a direct-to-consumer company, we can sell it at still a pretty good value. So our carry-on price is $495 relative to, you know, similar quality. That would be probably in the $800 range, something like that, from brands like Rimowa or Tumi. So what makes a great quality suitcase? You know, number one, it's the attitude of management that they want to be the best and they want to make it the best, and that's the starting point. Second is the design, and both, you know, we spent over a year with a top industrial design firm working on both the aesthetic design as well as the functionality, durability, the way it packs. Third, our components are the best and most expensive in the world. So the wheels we use are the best.
So the wheels are going to work.
Yeah, I mean, the wheels are unbelievable. Sorry to...
That's okay.
I know we're not on TV here.
That's all right. That's all right.
But you can just see, it's, you know, if you just give it a spin, it's, you know...
Wow, yeah, it moves really easily.
And this is a rubber surface. Our zippers are... So, our wheels are several times more expensive than anybody else's. Our zippers are waterproof. So you're in the Caribbean and in one of those afternoon thunderstorms, as I have been, and the luggage is sitting out there, completely dry.
One of my big travel tips to people is line the inside of your suitcase with
I could, and in my demonstration downstairs, I will dump a glass of water on here. I could dump it all day. Could run a hose at this for an hour, nothing gets in.
That's a big deal because a lot of people forget that, especially when they're connecting. They think, well, gee, it's not raining where I left from, and it's not raining where I'm going. But they forget about that spot in the middle when their bag's going to be on the tarmac for
absolutely.
A couple hours.
Absolutely. You know, our pull-up handle adjusts to, you know, several different heights. It's lightweight, very strong.
It's really lightweight.
Yes.
I mean, it's
the
really
whole case. This is our largest case.
And Larry, let me tell our listeners that there will be a link to Larry's website. It's roamluggage, roam.com. But if you're driving around, don't worry about it. Travel Guys Radio will have all of the links from all the guests today. Larry, one last thought.
The big thing, so we make each piece by hand to order in the USA. So that's huge. So we're the only major company producing in the USA. And because we do that, we can customize every piece. So every person on our website designs his or her own bag according to their personality. So you can see in here, there are several different designs, but there are millions of possible designs. So your bag will never look like anybody else's.
So whatever your favorite colors are.
Absolutely.
Or whatever
color,
it is,
trim, hubcaps, handles. It all gets customized by you right on the website.
What an awesome idea, and a reminder from back at the beginning of the interview, the guys who came up with this are two guys from Tumi.
That's right.
So yeah. they kind of know luggage. Larry, yeah. Thank you so much for
thank
a couple minutes of your time. I know you have to run and make a presentation. We'll throw this on our website.
Thanks so much.
You know, Tom, I have to confess, we told folks that there were pictures of the travel mat. And then I also took some of the luggage we were talking about there in the last interview, and there was a malfunction, a technical malfunction, and those pictures didn't make it to the website. So,
well, wait a minute. I just checked on the website. If you click on Travel Mat, there's actually a little video and a picture there to see what it looks like. And if you watch the video, it shows all the multiple ways that you can do it. So it is there. And so is the luggage.
Okay, really cool. Yeah, the websites are there. I had some extra pictures I wanted to throw up. Anyway, the young guy, Hemi, he was from Marquette, Michigan. That's what he was trying to say. He had a really heavy accent there. Lives in Thailand, sells with his dad. Thank you, Tom and Luis, for all of your help today. Travel, dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next Sunday on The Travel Guys.
You bet. Stay well, my friend. See you then.